Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.
From KUNC and the NPR Network, this is In the NoCo, your daily slice of Northern Colorado news and happenings. It's Wednesday, April 3rd. I'm Erin O'Toole. It's no secret there's a crisis of shrinking local news. And we know that in places where local news evaporates, democracy takes a hit. Government corruption tends to increase when powerful entities realize there's less media scrutiny on what they're doing. Journalist Corey Hutchins keeps a close eye on all things Colorado media. The co-director of the Colorado College Journalism Institute writes a weekly newsletter that goes behind our state's headlines. I sat down with him to discuss the health of Colorado media and a few other happenings that could have far-reaching impacts on our democracy.
I did write a story recently about Colorado Public Radio laying off 15 people, which made up 8% of its workforce. Notably, I cast it in the context of a national wave of layoffs that had hit Colorado. But I did get some pushback from that, I should say, from, you know, at least one person saying that this is more of a singular instance and we shouldn't put it in that context. But there's no question that more people are losing journalism jobs because of just where we are in our stage of capitalism and our inability to kind of support the business model for local news. And I'm not quite sure what it's going to take to fix that. I know a lot of people are working on it, and I know that philanthropy is one place that is kind of on the march in trying to help fill the gaps.
I think we've had a similar conversation about philanthropy and how just strange it feels to have to rely on something like that to fund what is a public good and essential to our democracy.
Yes, and I'm glad you brought up that phrase, a public good. I know surveys have shown that particularly younger consumers of media, those like 18 to 30 years old, have less of a problem with the idea of more public funding to support local news. Older audiences seem to want to see local news outlets supported by advertising or subscriptions, and younger people don't seem to mind the idea of public funding for the local news. So I wonder if there might be an appetite in our state's legislature. There have been some interesting projects in states like New Jersey and California that have decided to put up more public dollars to help support local news. Will that start to become more of a trend? Perhaps that's something to look out for as well outside of philanthropy.
Well, a new printing press for newspapers in Colorado, might we see that as a little glimmer of hope in all of this, at least for print outlets?
Oh, yes. Just a couple weeks ago, there was an announcement that we will be getting a new printing press all the way from Canada through Washington State into a warehouse facility in Denver. The national nonprofit, the National Trust for Local News, which is an organization that seeks to help local news organizations thrive and financially sustain themselves, has a presence in Colorado and runs 23 weekly newspapers in the Denver suburbs called Colorado Community Media. They had a hard time when the Pueblo Chieftain, which is owned by Gannett, abruptly shut down its printing press last summer, and it sent roughly 80 publications scrambling to find a new printer. Many had to go out of state. The trend was that these giant printing presses were just crumbling and going away. And the National Trust for Local News says, let's see if we can actually bring one back. And they call it a mission-driven printing press. And I think that's important because I think what they're saying is, you know, yeah, I'm sure they want to make money off of this as well, but they want to help the news and information ecosystem in Colorado, and doing this will do it.
So when we talk about sustaining local media, Corey, one thing that's starting to pop up more and more is how AI can or should be involved. In one of your recent newsletters, you discussed an AI news venture that has since pulled the plug. I'm wondering what was going on there.
Kind of a bizarre situation, but one that I think we're going to see happening more and more as It becomes cheaper and easier to adapt and use artificial intelligence technology. It sounds like a Republican consultant in the Denver area had created a purported news and information site that purported to report on local news developments. It was irking a few journalists who report on politics who felt like their work was getting ripped off, and it was hard to tell who was behind this site. I used the site in my media literacy lessons at Colorado College to show how hard it can be sometimes to find out who's behind something. It had a PO box. But the Colorado Times Recorder, which is a progressive news outlet, one of their reporters actually found out who runs the site, and it was a Republican consultant. He confronted him about it. Why are you doing this? And the guy said that it was an experiment with artificial intelligence. I think he said something like, well, I didn't mean to rip off other reporters' work, but this was an experiment. And now that you're calling me about it, I think it's over.
And that was that.
Right. And then the site went away. But it's possible that it started to come back in a limited capacity with a little more attribution. But it speaks to a larger problem that local news organizations are facing with these companies that pop up that are very opaque and it's hard to find out who runs them. And they are ripping off the work of hardworking local journalists. And what you'll see sometimes, you can identify these sites by just how oddly phrased some of the wording and syntax is in their so-called stories. And what I think is happening is there are companies that create these things called spinners. It's almost like a thesaurus, and you can copy and paste a news article, put it in there, and it will change the words to synonyms of those words in hopes perhaps that somebody can't catch it through a plagiarizing machine or something, and then spit it back out onto the internet. So you have those awkwardly phrased stories of some local news account that's really just another journalist's work, but put through a kind of garbled language shredder. And I'm afraid we're just going to see more and more of these. There are these really creepy sites coming out that are writing fake obituaries about people who haven't died. And this was kind of a local snapshot that was happening about Colorado political journalism.
I want to talk about another concerning development. Our investigative reporter, Scott Franz, recently covered how state legislators passed a bill that exempts them from parts of the open meetings law. And Scott has reported on how they've broken that law in the past. Why should people care about this move by our state lawmakers?
People should care about this move by our state lawmakers because Colorado has long had a tradition of wanting to be and purporting to be a very transparent place where the public's business is out in the open for the public and not just journalists to be able to access and understand. We have multiple laws that at some point used to give us access to what lawmakers are doing. And the lawmakers apparently didn't seem to appreciate that to the point where they passed a new law that starts to limit what the public can get access to. While this makes it harder for a journalist to get access to what's happening in the legislature, I don't want the public to think about it that way, but more of it limits the public's right to know. Any kind of limitations on that is not really helpful.
Well, Corey, this is great. Thank you so much for talking with me.
Oh, thanks so much.
You can find a link to subscribe to Corey Hutchins' weekly newsletter in our show notes or at KUNC.org. And that's it for us today here on In the NoCo. We'll be back tomorrow with more of what's happening in Northern Colorado. Robin Vincent produced this episode along with Aria Lavery and me, your host, Erin O'Toole. We'll talk soon.